10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
That was horrible. That was horrible.
You gotta be a football hero to get clipped by the men in blue. Whether it's homicide or burglary, the NFL always comes through.
Their attorneys are constantly busy
working on defensive plays. You gotta be a football hero, 'cause in the NFL, crime pays.
What was that? What was that? Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh God. It was horrible. It was horrible. Oh, it was horrible. It was just horrible. Yes, all of it. It was all just horrible. Yes, I'm Walter Sterling. It's 8 minutes past the hour, live radio show coast to coast on a Sunday night, a Super Bowl night. Welcome to the big radio show, the actual radio show, this one. What was that? Really? I never thought it would end. I never thought it would end. That was all horrible. But in my opinion, the most insulting part of the halftime display tonight was how offensive it must have been to the people of Puerto Rico. Because he dragged out onto that stage through props every single stereotype that the world has of Puerto Rico. What did we see? They built that set. They built a little set for him to walk through that was supposed to look like the barrio. It was supposed to look like a street in Puerto Rico. Do you remember what he did? There he is singing. He brings out his friends, you know, Jessica Alba and those people. Who is that woman? Christina Aguilera, is that who it was? Anyway, he brings out all of these other people, but that's not the offensive part. You might like the music. Yeah. Or you might hate it. It doesn't matter. What I found offensive for the people of Puerto Rico is that the props that they used dragged out every single negative stereotype of that community. Did they show the CEO of Univision? No. Did they say Jose Cancela, a high-ranking executive at Telemundo? No. Did they bring out Joaquin Blaya, the man who brought us Cristina? Don Francisco was the first programmer of Telemundo, the Rune Arledge of Hispanic media. Did they bring him out? No. What did they bring out? Go look at it. There he is walking by a showcase of red velvet and cheap jewelry. Looked like hot jewelry to me. Looked like it could have represented hot jewelry to me. We don't know what everything was supposed to represent, but there was a display case of silver jewelry on red velvet being sold by some guy. And then he goes a little further and we see another guy holding used inner tubes. What does that represent about the great people of Puerto Rico? What is that supposed to represent? This was highly offensive to me, Walter Sterling. But to a native of Puerto Rico, a citizen of the United States, a territory of Puerto Rico, what do they have? They have, United States passports, right? Yeah. What could be more offensive than, here's our representatives. Ready? Here's a guy walking around with inner tubes, another person behind a counter lined with red velvet and cheap silver jewelry, and some guy trying to sell it to me, And there's a nail salon. They represent a nail salon. Where's the bank executive? Where is the Telemundo Univision executives? For years, I worked for Radio Unica in Miami. I consulted them. And sometimes we would go visit Univision, the huge Spanish language television network. And I'd walk through that parking lot with my client. And it was a sea of white Mercedes and white Jaguars and not a Chevy Cruze to be found. It was blinding white light. It was magnificent. You've never seen anything like it. It was, whoa. It was like, whoa. And I finally looked at him in his $4,000 suit, this native of South America. There he is in his $4,000 suit and his $1,000 shoes and his Turnbull and Asser custom shirt. And I said to Joaquin, I said, are all of you rich? Yes. Why are all of you rich? Because there are only two of us. There's just Telemundo and Univision. All of the money goes to two of us. We get all of the Hispanic dollar in the United States. You've never seen anything like that. And then you drive through Coral Gables, or the Gables, as it's referred to, and you'll see estate after estate after estate, hidden behind weeping willows and palm trees, magnificent vegetation and foliage, beautifully landscaped. These are unbelievable homes, probably starting at $2 million a year, probably most of them at $10 million. That's the Hispanic community in South Florida. There are other parts to that community, but the wealthy, affluent, educated Hispanic community was not represented by Bad Bunny on the Super Bowl stage. There was your chance to bring people together, buddy. There was your chance to bring people together by showing all aspects of Puerto Rico. You drive through Puerto Rico, you can see the barrio, but you can also see incredible estates, thriving businesses, wonderful resorts. You ever gone there? It's a great place to go. It's a terrific vacation. I spent two New Year's Eves there, and it's a fun place to go for New Year's Eve because the way the time zones work is the time zone New Year's hits America, hits the United States of America in Puerto Rico first. It's great. Why wasn't that represented? Instead, we saw a nail salon, used tires, cheap jewelry. That's what we see. That's your representation of Puerto Rico. Nice going, buddy. You had the chance. You blew it. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
Stalker says it was love. Details later, the people of Walmart. Sterling, every damn night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling Every Damn Night.
This is Matthias Boenbell. Coming up, my Hollywood report on movies, live on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Hi, I'm retired detective Vic Ferrari. And on tonight's episode of Confessions of a Retired Detective, find out the amount of precautions cops take before ordering takeout food. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
I'm here for the coffee. Wink, wink. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling Every Damn Night.
You gotta be a football hero to get clipped by the men in blue. Whether it's homicide or burglary, the NFL always comes through.
Their attorneys are constantly busy
working on defensive plays. You gotta be a football hero, 'cause in the NFL crime pays.
855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. You and I are live on the radio coast to coast from WGAN in Maine to KFBK in Sacramento, California. DJ, hi. Welcome to the Giant Radio Show. Hi.
How are you? No, I'm in New York, so
I know. I didn't say you were in California. I said hi.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because I love you already with that voice.
Thank you. Yes. Yep, I grew up, I want to let you know, I grew up in Miami, Florida. I lived yes. in Coral Gables, and I totally agree. We had lovely Puerto Rican people who moved in around the corner, down the street, mostly Cubans who came in. And I dated a Puerto Rican guy for many, many, many years, and sadly he passed away. But the nicest people in the whole world, and you are 150% right about Coral Gables people. They are
I wish I could afford the Gables. Oh, my God.
It's
beautiful.
It's insanely expensive.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. Oh, it's absolutely gorgeous, yes. But when you have to interact with some of the people who own the beautiful estates, I'm down to earth. I can't help it. It's who I am. And they don't do down to earth. No, they're a bit snobby and kind of uppity about things. And
yeah.
So I made it my personal job to not let them act like that. And I got a group together of people, and we'd go up and down the street singing and singing carols at their doors, and it was cool. We conquered the snobs.
Right, but the point you seem to agree with, which is Bad Bunny could not have represented the community worse with the images he put up.
Exactly.
He put up the worst stereotypes of the Puerto Rican community he could have. What do we see?
Yeah.
We saw them selling cheap jewelry, probably hot, on red velvet in a display case by some guy. We saw a nail salon. We saw some nail salon employees, technicians, gossiping. We saw a guy walking around with used tires. I'm like, wait a minute. Do you remember that? There were used tires on that set, and it was all tight and close to look like an urban street rather than the mountains of Puerto Rico. The vast vistas, the ocean of Puerto Rico. He was in a football stadium, and what did he do? He made it as small as he could.
Wow.
He made that stadium as small as he could, and in my opinion, totally humiliated the Puerto Rican people.
That's very true. Very true. And
well,
many,
you're the best. Thank you very much for calling. Thank you for calling at 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I lived in Fort Lauderdale for a year, which makes me no expert on South Florida, but it makes me an expert on what the temperature should be right now. But this Bad Bunny clown, this guy, he gets out there and he wants to bring the community together. He wants to bring everybody together. Yes, so do you, and so do I. But to do this, it's not his music. The music is emotional. There are people who are going to be emotionally in love with it and emotionally hate it. That's music. But there's no excuse for the set he built, that cheap, crappy set that they built to have him walk through, designed to look like a bad part of Puerto Rico or Brooklyn or the Bronx. Looked horrible. That was a crappy set. And what does the set depict? Do we see a hardworking Puerto Rican school teacher? No. Do we see a hardworking Puerto Rican bus driver? No. Do we see a hardworking Puerto Rican doctor? No. What do we see? We see a guy selling cheap jewelry behind a crappy counter, a kid walking around with spare tires, two spare tires. What is that? And a nail salon. What? Could not have represented the community worse. Picked every negative stereotype there is and threw it onto the largest audience. He had a chance to show Puerto Rico at its best, to show the middle-income people, the rich people. They're incredibly rich people in Puerto Rico. Oh, my God. I didn't see any pictures of beautiful tropical mansions. I didn't see any imagery of that. We didn't see any imagery from Telemundo or Univision. No, wasn't this aired on NBC? Yes, it's NBC. Owns Univision. NBC owns Telemundo. It owns one of them. It owns a Spanish language network, right? Where was that? Why weren't the stars of the novellas there? Why weren't the stars of the novellas there? Millionaires, great talent, huge audiences. And what do we see? A kid walking around with used tires, a guy selling cheap jewelry, and a nail salon. Nice going, buddy. Nice going. On a tight, minimal set. He had a stadium. He could have shown every positive aspect of being a Puerto Rican, and he insulted his people. Don't give me nonsense about, oh, he represented them. No, he didn't. He insulted them. He minimized them. He minimized every achievement they ever did. He rolled out every stereotype that the mainstream, the mass market, believes about Puerto Rico. That's what he rolled out. And then he put it to this. Yes. Doesn't matter if you hate the music. Doesn't matter if you love the music. That's not the point. Music's emotional. You're going to hate it. You're going to love it. There are songs of the Beatles you don't like. Every type of emotion is represented by music. That's its power. But to show the imagery on that cheap, crappy set, I kept waiting to see the vistas of a Super Bowl stadium. Those didn't appear until other talent came on. Not him, but other talent came on. Instead, we see him on top of a pickup truck. We see him next to a kid with spare tires. What? Every crappy stereotype from the Bronx and Brooklyn, from the worst neighborhoods in America. That's what he puts on stage. He insulted his people. He minimized their incredible achievements. And he should be ashamed of himself. And he should be ashamed. And Roger Goodell, good going, buddy. Good going. We warned you. Here's my phone number. I'm live coast to coast. I'm Walter Sterling. My number is 855-839-1210. Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to go over the criminal records of the NFL. Did you whisper something to me now, Sean? You can't whisper to me. Okay, good. Good. Just, you can be loud and obnoxious. Pretend you're from New Jersey. Oh, you are. Oh, my God. Listen, this is just inexcusable what he did. He had the chance to level up, to take his people and level. He wanted to represent his people. What did he do? He represented us. He represented his people to the worst stereotypes that American mainstream media has of him, that the general market has of Puerto Ricans. Why would he do that? Why did he do that? My number's live. It's 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Yeah, I told the witch doctor tune in the Sterling Show. I told the witch doctor tune in the Sterling Show. And then the witch doctor told me where to go. He told me,
ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bing-bang. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, Sterling every damn night. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bing-bang. Ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, Sterling every damn night.
Gotta be a football hero to get clipped by the men in blue. Whether it's homicide or burglary, the NFL always comes through.
Their attorneys are constantly busy
working on defensive plays. You gotta be a football hero, 'cause in the NFL crime pays.
Boom, boom, Hollywood.
Well, it's a lot of pressure on you to be on this show on the big game night with Walter Sterling, live coast to coast. Matias, Boom Boom Hollywood, welcome to the Giant Radio Show.
Hey, thanks, Walter. I hope you had a better time with the game than you did with the halftime.
No, I hate football parties. I was forced to go to my in-laws for like 40 minutes, have hors d'oeuvres, to enable me to watch my mother and father-in-law be drunk and doing something to really annoy my kids. While Bad Big Bunny was singing, he kept stopping the show. He kept hitting pause and making comments. And then and earlier in the game, he kept stopping it during the game to actually give a review of the book that he was reading while the game was on. While soaked
can you get
in
a
martini.
Purple heart for this?
While soaked in martini.
That I appreciate.
And then both of them, my mother-in-law and father-in-law, can't hear. The TV could not have been louder. So the one thing I hate most in life is play-by-play of any game. And there it is, as loud as it possibly could be, to something I not only don't care about, I don't understand. I'll never understand. And him drunk, pausing and pausing. Now, he is a Gatsby drunk. He's not a falling down sleazoid drunk. He's a Gatsby type drunk. He I swear to God, he's got a martini mixer, one of those sterling silver martini mixer things. He's got the whole martini kit. He discusses it isn't the Tanqueray gin. It's the Boodles gin in bottles you and I cannot afford.
My
it's
favorite.
That.
I
no,
love
it's,
Boodles.
It's in different color Boodles, like the sapphire Boodles. And oh, my God, he's got a whole industry going on there. And he's a litigator of note. This is a very bright man who's very drunk. So it's not scary.
Well, there you have it.
It's not scary. It's comical in a quasi-tragic way. But as for you, what sort of movies did you see this weekend? Matthias is a brilliant film critic, film reviewer. He shares with us information about not only films, but Hollywood gossip, trends that are important to us. He's not like one of those pretentious a-holes that other people have to that review. He's our very own a-hole. So welcome, Matthias. We're very proud to have you.
Well, thanks a lot, Walter. In movie theaters this week is something from the faith-based studio Angel, which is not a movie that's overly religious. It's just a sweet romantic comedy. However, it stars Kevin James. Now, we may remember Kevin James from the movie Mall Cop and a couple of other shows, of course. So he's sort of a big guy. He plays in this thing, a school teacher that he convinces this gal that he's his fiance to marry him. So they go off to Italy for his dream wedding, and yet she leaves him standing at the altar. Absolutely sets him up. So there he is. He's in Italy. And he has his fiance is gone. He wants to cancel the hotel. They said you can't cancel the hotel, but the concierge says to him, you know, you're in Italy. You've already paid for the couple's tour of Italy. Why don't you just enjoy it? And so begrudgingly he does that. Except of course he sticks out like a sore thumb on a couple's tour being a single guy. So there's a lot of comedy stuff they throw in there that actually is not that funny. But when he meets this cafe operator named Gio, she's a lovely actress, suddenly things start to change for him because he's starting to fall for this beautiful girl whose name I will tell you in just a moment. It's Nicole Grimado. Nicole Grimado is her name. And so they start to build a relationship, and it becomes a very sweet love story, but the comedy stuff is really unnecessary. It's like a 50s romantic comedy made today. It was very sweet, and I think we need more sweet movies instead of horrible movies about the ugly world of tomorrow or political espionage. I mean, we like a good action film, a good thriller, and we always like it when there's a beautiful girl. This movie has a beautiful girl. Is there sexo? No, so I'm sorry. It is, after all, from Angel Studios, but she's quite beautifully poised and placed and very romantic. So not overly funny, but very sweet. And that's the movie, which is called Solo Mio. There's also some great cameo appearances from some very famous Italians, like Andrea Bocelli, who shows up in the movie unexpectedly. So there are some fun moments. So it's kind of a date movie. And where it's very cold, it's nice to snuggle up to a nice, lovely girl. Now, of course, if you're a lovely girl, you may not want to snuggle up to Kevin James, except for warmth. sort of like the same reaction girls slumbering up. You know, I'm good for warmth, but that's about it. But I'll tell you that it might be a nice date movie to keep warm, although out here in California it's 57 degrees.
Now, what about this number one movie this weekend? What was the number one movie this weekend?
That was called Send Help. Solo Mio was number two. Send Help was sort of a little horror movie that was made through social media connections, really put it over. They had a following on YouTube, the director of this thing, and it has grossed $10 million this weekend, and since it opened, $36 million. Solo Mio's right behind it at $7.2 million, and then Iron Lung, yet another horror movie, is behind it at $6 million for the weekend and $31 million since it opened.
The title of the movie, Iron Lung, is horrific enough for me. I won't be seeing it played out for 2 hours. The title is enough to haunt me tonight. And I'm like, really? I don't think that sounds like a fun time. I'm not going to be going to
that. No, no. And as we heard on this program, you're 150% right, at least about Coral Gables.
A magnificent place. Beautiful and hidden. It's not well known outside of Florida. But you go driving through the Gables, and first of all, you'll get lost. But you have never seen estates like this or as romantic or Southern novelish as those estates. It's like, really? Does anybody really live in there? It's like a castle. All right, Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood, how do we find you on social media?
It's Mateus Bombal's Hollywood on Facebook. That's MATIASBOMBAL'S, and Hollywood, just like the town, Mateus Bombal's Hollywood.
Great friend of the show, Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood. Thank you for being on every damn Sunday night. I'm Walter Sterling. Good evening. I have an email. It's waltermsterling@gmail.com. waltermsterling@gmail.com. Website, Walter Sterling Show. You can download your Midnight Misfit membership card right there. And you and I can talk live on the live line to America at 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I was disgusted by that halftime show, not because of the music, and certainly not because he's Puerto Rican, but how he represented the Puerto Rican community was a shame on him. A guy walking around with spare tires, another guy selling cheap jewelry behind a counter with red velvet? No thanks. I'm Walter M. Sterling, Sterling every damn Sunday night.
Lesbians in space.
Date idea, since football season is coming up, we watch every single football game together, and whenever there's a first down, we kiss. Because who doesn't love football and kissing? I know I do.
Gotta be a football hero to get clipped by the men in blue. Whether it's homicide or burglary, the NFL always comes through.
Their attorneys are constantly busy
working on defensive plays. You gotta be a football hero, 'cause in the NFL crime pays.
Study books, rusty books, get cozy with the Owl and Dawn.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my book, Conquering the Skies. At their destination, Ash groped around for the doorknob and nudged the door open with his hip. It closed behind them, and he set her down on the floor and spun her around by the waist to face him. Dim wall sconces around the perimeter of the room cast him in a warm glow, highlighting the tender affection in his eyes. "If you'll indulge me in a rare, serious moment," he said, "you've made me the luckiest man in the universe today. No matter what happens from here on out, there's nothing the two of us can't handle together." Geneva caressed the side of his face. This was one of the, if not the, most amazing day of my life. and I know even better ones lay ahead of us. He inched forward, pressing his body alongside hers. Bracing her palms on his sturdy chest, she tilted her face upward in anticipation of his kiss. Before their lips made contact, however, someone knocked on the door. "It's unlocked," Ash called. Marcus appeared in the doorway, toting a small wheeled suitcase. The faint light from the hall silhouetted his slender frame as he watched them from several feet away. Despite the shadows, Geneva could recognize every familiar detail down to the hunger in his stare, and she drew in a sharp breath as she realized how much she wanted him, how much she wanted both of them. "I didn't mean to intrude," he said, interrupting her thoughts. "I figured you'd assume I'd be here shortly." "You're not intruding." She extended her hand toward him, beckoning him inside. "We got here just a moment ago." "I wouldn't have blamed you if you'd gotten started without me." He set down his luggage beside a wooden dresser and joined them in the center of the room. "As it's your special day, we can celebrate any way you'd like tonight." Without leaving Ash's embrace, she half turned toward Marcus, tugging at the collar of his button-down shirt and using it to pull him closer. Her other hand remained on Ash's chest, above his heart. Glancing back and forth between them, she burst out in a fit of giggles. "What's so funny?" Marcus asked. She let her hand skim down his side until it rested at his waist. "All this time, and I still can't figure out how to decide which one of you to kiss." He joined in her laughter. "A dilemma with which I am quite familiar." Ash's hand also drifted lower, and he gave her hip a mischievous squeeze. "I'm with Marcus on this one. You're in charge tonight." "Me?" she scoffed. "The one who's infamous for her inability to make decisions?" "It's all worked out for the best so far, don't you think?" Marcus steered her back toward her husband. "Why don't you continue what you were doing before I arrived? I'll figure it out." Geneva allowed Ash to guide her lips to his. Their tongues tangled together, engaging in sweet spirals and probing explorations. As they resumed their prior kiss, another set of lips floated across her bare shoulder. Marcus swept her hair to one side from behind and continued along his path to the side of her neck. While Ash held her in place with one gentle palm cradling each side of her face, Marcus's hands glided down her body, coming to rest at the swell of her hips. They didn't linger for long, though, as they slipped around to her stomach. While he continued to pepper faint kisses along her skin, his hands rose to cup her chest, skimming over the silky fabric of her dress. His strong fingers sank into her flesh. A whimper strained in her throat, but Ash refused to relent, preventing her from speaking. Marcus continued to fondle and knead, and his teeth grazed the sensitive spot at the juncture between her neck and shoulder. She jolted, and he let out a low chuckle near her ear. Though her options for movement were limited, she rolled her hips backward, lengthening the connection between them. She longed to reach for him, to tear his pants away and reacquaint herself with every detail of him. But the two men kept her trapped between them. He abandoned her heaving chest, and she grumbled at the loss of contact, though the sound was stifled by Ash's fervent kiss. Marcus's fingers found the top of the zipper at the back of her dress and tugged at it. The deliberate scratch, as he dragged the zipper down inch by painstaking inch, echoed in her ears, and she shuddered at his feathery touch as he pushed the straps down her arms. Oh, unfortunately, I think I need to stop here for tonight, but you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, Conquering the Skies, which is available at Amazon on Kindle Unlimited. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling every damn night.
Years of OK Radio repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
What is that? When did you last take a shower?
You gotta be a football hero to get clipped by the men in blue. Whether it's homicide or burglary, the NFL always comes through.
Their attorneys are constantly busy
working on defensive plays. You gotta be a football hero, 'cause in the NFL crime pays.
Oh my gosh, look at this. It's 8 minutes past the hour with Walter M. Sterling. I'm live on Phil Zachary's radio station in Maine, Bill White's radio station in Sacramento. Yes, we're all here. My phone number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. If you'd like to discuss the horrendous insult to Puerto Ricans at today's Super Bowl, great. It's not about the music. There's nothing right or wrong about any music. The issue isn't that.
Todos están pendiente a ti.
It's about the fact that in that little set piece where he walked through various images of the Puerto Rican culture, what was the culture that was represented? Was it Telemundo, Televisa, novella celebrities? No. Was it brilliant Puerto Rican entrepreneurs? No. Great hoteliers, mansion owners? No, it's none of that. What did they show? They showed a counter, and inside the counter, a retail counter, inside the counter was red velvet lining and cheap jewelry and a guy behind it selling it. And then next was a nail salon. And then my favorite, a guy walking around with used tires. Every crappy stereotype that you may have, that the general market may have of the Puerto Rican culture is represented there in a tight set, like the barrio, like a ghetto street. We didn't see the great vistas of Puerto Rico, the beautiful ocean, the great hotels, the successful entrepreneurs. No, it was like all hurricane damage. The whole set was like hurricane damage. That's what he showed. Instead of using that stadium, he made the world smaller instead of making it bigger, instead of putting up imagery that was both honest and identifiable to the general market. Again, I don't care what the music is. You might like some of it. You might hate it. Doesn't matter. It's music. Music is emotional. It'll elicit emotional response. Instead, the imagery he chooses is a guy walking around with used tires. There's Puerto Rico for you. What an insult to Puerto Ricans. My number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. And I tell you, you go to South Florida, you go to secret places like Coral Gables, you will see the most magnificent vistas, incredible Spanish architecture, beautiful vegetation, and homes that you could never afford, and homes you could never buy because no one's leaving. One of my favorite moments in life, this was great. One of my favorite moments in life is I'm staying at the Hyatt, the Grand Hyatt in Coral Gables. And incredible hotel, great hotel, Grand Hyatt in Puerto Rico, in Coral Gables. And you know, if you want, as TMZ will demonstrate every night, if you want to get somebody to talk to you, meet up with them at valet parking when they've handed in the ticket for their car and they're waiting for their car. They can't go anywhere. You have captivated them. You've captured them. And over there, waiting for his car at the Grand Hyatt in Coral Gables is Ron Popeil. Yes, Vegematics, Ron Popeil. The pasta makers, Ron Popeil. And the rotisserie chicken oven, Ron Popeil. Now, at that moment, the rotisserie oven was at its height of awareness. It was on all night long on every cable channel. All night long, there was Ron Popeil's rotisserie. And he was such a good salesman on the air, on TV. He made those rotisserie ovens into stars. I wanted to meet the rotisserie oven. I swear to God, I'm so embarrassed. I walked the streets of Lower Manhattan one week looking for the rotisserie oven in the window, but it was only available on TV. It was only available with this TV offer. That turned out to be true. I looked at all of the junk stores. I couldn't find it anywhere. I wanted that rotisserie oven. And finally, I got, my mother gave it to me for Christmas. That's what I wanted for Christmas one year. I said, I want that rotisserie oven. I don't know why, but I did because he made it a star. Now, there is Ron Popeil, Ron freaking Popeil, alone. And here I am alone, and I quietly walk up to him, and I say, excuse me, Mr. Popeil, I bought the rotisserie oven, and it's fantastic. It is absolutely fantastic. And he didn't miss a beat. He looked at me and said, isn't it great when you buy a product and it does what they say it's going to do? I said, yes, yes. This was a religious moment for me, Walter Sterling. Good evening, Lynn Murray of Langhorne, Pennsylvania. You are a Midnight Misfit. Keith Mortensen, Midnight Misfit. Sean Conway, Midnight Misfit. John Harrison. Hi, John. Let's see. Keith is of Levittown and South Florida. Janine Plaskin, Malika Hill, New Jersey. Amber Folkart, Kansas City, Kansas, KMBZ. Welcome. These are Midnight Misfits, and I want to say hi to you. It's easy to do. Go to waltersterlingshow.com and download the Midnight Misfit membership card. Joe Gee, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Lee Harvey, South Portland, Maine, WGAN. Deborah Burgess of Bristol, Pennsylvania. Richard Lucas, Rochester, New York. Is it hot enough for you, Richard? Oh, my God. Art Lutz, Estelle, Georgia, WSB. Carol Vale, Gloucester City, New Jersey. Midnight Misfits all. You can be a Midnight Misfit. WalterSterlingShow.com. It's 11:15 on the East Coast, 8:15 on the West Coast with Walter Sterling every damn Sunday night.
OC, the OC Garden Grove, California coffee shop called the DD Cafe. Licensed as a coffee shop only in California. They're very particular. And yeah, a couple of days ago, police said 17 people were arrested at this cafe. But apparently it was an undercover strip club. Yeah, Channel 11 in L.A., they did undercover cameras. And yeah, the female servers bringing coffee and giving lap dances. Yeah. And customers could bring in alcohol for a fee. That's what they call doing a setup. You know, you show up with a bottle of bourbon or vodka and you spend like $5 so you can pour a shot of that bourbon or vodka into the mixer of your choice. It happens. DD Cafe, yeah, shutting down. Fox 11, Killjoys. Realize this, there's a wonderful group and a wonderful market of men that don't want to be in a strip club environment with booze and, you know, with Guidos and all that sort of stuff. A wonderful innocent coffee shop and getting a lap dance, that's a win-win. And I don't understand the Killjoys of California. This coffee shop making lots of people happy, bringing joy to a poor feller who just needed a smile. And those baristas, yeah, I bet you they don't have no purple hair. And I bet you they weigh somewhere under 300 pounds. So it's a good time. Fox 11, shame on you. Shame! Shame! Allow the dancing to happen. From the champagne room with an espresso. I'm Velo Hool, strippers on the loose, Sterling every damn night.
You gotta be a football hero to get clipped by the men in blue. Whether it's homicide or burglary, the NFL always comes through.
Their attorneys are constantly busy
working on defensive plays. You gotta be a football hero, 'cause in the NFL crime pays.
All right, Walter Sterling, every damn Sunday night. Yes, a live radio show. Everything else is an embarrassment. But one of the greatest embarrassments is how the endless hidden, the endless ugliness of the NFL is hidden. The fact is there's no higher crime rate among any population than among NFL players. Let's review some examples. Ready?
Was arrested at a city council meeting in California after what he called an act of civil disobedience over a plaque with the acrostic poem that spells out MAGA. The plaque has drawn controversy from Huntington Beach residents, including former Minnesota Vikings punter Chris Cluey. Cluey spoke out against the plaque at the city council meeting.
MAGA stands for resegregation and racism. MAGA stands for censorship and book bans. MAGA is profoundly corrupt, unmistakably anti-democracy. I will now engage in the time-honored American tradition of peaceful civil disobedience.
The plaque was approved by the city council members and was privately funded, according to the city council.
I'll make a motion to accept it.
You still have the magical allure and galvanizing and adventurous, and I would just really emphasize... I'd emphasize that words have meaning. Words have meaning. So, make America great again has meaning.
The plaque will be installed at a library to celebrate its 50th anniversary.
Yeah, that's Chris Cooley in court. Now, here are the top 10 NFL offenders. Let's start with number 10. You ready? I think I need music. Yeah.
This is breaking news.
Robert Rozier, number 10. Rozier wasn't an NFL player for long. After six games, he was let go from the St. Louis Cardinals for suspected drug use. Rozier ran into trouble when he joined a black supremacist group after admitting to the murder of seven people. Rozier was sentenced to 10 years. That's right. He murdered seven people, and he was only sent to jail for 10 years. All right, let's review some more actualities.
What began as a routine call for deputies ended in tragedy inside of a home just outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Investigators finding a woman unresponsive. her boyfriend, former Buckeye and NFL linebacker Darren Lee, still at the scene and taken into custody. He's now charged with first-degree murder and tampering with evidence. Lee's story once looked very different. From New Albany High School to Ohio State, he became a defensive star, helping lead the Buckeyes to a Sugar Bowl victory in 2015. Drafted in the first round by the New York Jets in 2016, he played for several NFL teams, including a Super Bowl-winning squad. But off the field, Lee's life was troubled. Arrests for domestic violence and assault stretched back to 2014, involving multiple women. In 2023, he faced probation after pleading guilty to attempted assault on a female relative in Dublin. Now, the most serious allegation yet, the death of his girlfriend, has stunned his hometown and raised urgent questions about a pattern of violence.
Darren Lee. Now, let me get this straight. I want you to think about who's in the NFL. 90% of the people in the NFL. Think about them. When you were in high school, think about the guys who were jocks. Now, if you were walking down the hall in high school and a jock was coming towards you, or worse, a jock and his jock friend were coming towards you, what were the odds that one or both of them at the same time would hurl invectives at you and then shove you against the lockers, laugh hard, and keep going? The odds were 100%. You saw two jocks coming towards you in high school. No one else was around. They'd get near you and go, they'd say terrible words to you, shove you against the locker, and then go, and keep going. Those are the people in the NFL. Congratulations. That's who they are. And now they're bigger, scarier. Football is not a sport. I never hear anybody say, and the sport of football. No, they don't say that. They say the game of sport. The game of football. Don't they say that? They say the game of football because it's a game. It is no sport. How many games do they have to play a year? 16? 17? And you're looking at $10 to $30 million a player? What the hell's that? You're going to give a guy who does 18 games $30 million a year? It can't possibly be $30 million to win a game. Impossible. What's the money for? Oh, it's to support the gambling industry. It's to take care of Vinny. It's to take care of the gambling industry and the concession industry. That's what it's for. Don't give me crap that it's a sport. Baseball's a sport. They play 18 games a week. They're doing a sport. They're in it for the long haul. The other thing is a spiritual difference between baseball and football. And the spiritual difference is this. In baseball, if somebody gets hurt, everybody's very sad. The stadium goes silent. The ambulance comes out. Nobody says a peep until they know how that player is. That fastball hits that guy on the side of the head, smashes into his eardrum. People want to know how he is. A guy gets injured in football every 30 seconds, and everybody goes, woof, 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 woof. I've never liked football because I also don't understand it. It's been explained to me all of my life by everybody, and I just don't understand it. I don't have the chip to process that game. I can look at the field, and you know what it looks like to me? It looks like one of those arcade games where the horses go down the field, like there are 10 mechanical horses, and you bet on the win. It's about betting on the win. Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday night.
You gotta be a football hero. Get clipped by the men in blue. Whether it's homicide or burglary, the NFL always comes through.
Their attorneys are constantly busy
working on defensive plays. You gotta be a football hero, 'cause in the NFL crime pays.
Yeehaw! Arriba, arriba, yeehaw, yeehaw, yeehaw.
The highest crime rate of any population is in the NFL. The highest percentage of people in a closed environment is NFL players. These are trained thugs. These are trained thugs. And there are a handful who are thoughtful and brilliant, but the bulk of them are there for bulk. And they're not there for their remarkable skills, and you and I don't watch the game because, that play was beautiful. There are a couple of those. But the bulk of them are just people running against each other. Score goes up, and we win or lose the bet. This is a gambling game. But throughout the history of the NFL, there are clowns like this.
New video tonight from Doral shows officers struggling to arrest James Pierce Jr. He's a linebacker for the Atlanta Falcons. And before that happened, police say Pierce Jr. was at the police station and allegedly involved in a domestic dispute. First round pick of 2025 being brought to the ground by several police officers. Doral police tonight telling us they first heard reports of Pierce Jr. and his girlfriend, WNBA star Rekia Jackson, having an argument at the police station. Investigators say Pierce left in his car, then crashed near Northwest 103rd Avenue and Northwest 66th Street. Pierce Jr. faces six charges tonight, two counts of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, assault on an officer, stalking, fleeing, and misdemeanor resisting arrest.
And that's where I'd pick a fight with my girlfriend, in a police station. Right there, if you have any doubts about the mental skills of NFL players, all you need to know is that, number one, he picked a fight with his girlfriend. Unacceptable. And then he picked a fight with his girlfriend in a police station. Inexcusable. That's the deal. There are too many stories about NFL players beating up their girlfriends. There was one horrendous story 11 years ago of an NFL player at a hotel, at a casino, in the elevator with his girlfriend, and he beats her up in the elevator and then drags her out of the elevator by her hair. All on camera, all captured. The man should still be in jail. Promise you, he's not. Probably because she wouldn't press charges. It gave me an opportunity to give my daughters a great lesson in what not to do. And I explained to both of them, I said, all right, if you're ever in a situation where some idiot hits you, that is the last time you ever see him. Or if you're ever in a situation where an executive invites you to his hotel room and then is in any way inappropriate, or there isn't another executive there, you need to leave. And you know what both of my daughters did to both of these great pieces of advice? They went, yeah, we know that. They looked at me like I was with pity. They looked at me like I was out of my mind. Yeah, we know that. Did you say something to me, Sean? No? Okay, good. Did you? Did you whisper something? Okay, you can't do that. You have to just tell me what I need to know. All right, it's 40 minutes past the hour with Walter Sterling, and yet another example of the NFL gone wild.
Widely viewed as a veteran leader inside that Texans locker room, safety and team captain Jimmy Ward remains in jail after he was arrested and charged with a third-degree felony, assault with a family violence designation. According to the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office, Ward's fiance alleges that he strangled her and threatened her life overnight before she was able to leave the house and call 911. The serious nature of the charges Ward faces really hits home when you hear them read aloud in today's probable cause hearing.
Her fiance, Mr. Jimmy Ward, slapped her in the face, strangled her, and threatened to kill her.
It's just such a horrible story. We'll explore it more in just seconds. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night. The car is alive. Neon lights flicker. The patrons talking jive.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired Detective, I was always picky as a member of the New York City Police Department where I ate, especially when I was in uniform. When I would go into a restaurant, a McDonald's, and I was in uniform, I would never use the drive-thru. I would always walk up to the counter, place my order, and watch whoever was working pluck a hamburger and a bag of fries or whatever I was getting and put it in a bag right in front of me. Now, I'm not naive, and probably someone has spit at some time or another in something that I've eaten before, but I try not to think about it. But that's just the reality when you're a cop in uniform. But working in the Bronx in New York City, there was some bizarre things that happened with cops and their food. There was a cop once that went into a McDonald's in the Hunts Point section of the Bronx, drove off with a hamburger, and had broken glass in his hamburger and had to be treated. So what the detectives did to catch the guy, they sent in a radio call through the drive-thru and had undercover detectives inside the restaurant. And then they saw the counter man messing with the cop's food, and then they later placed him under arrest. In another Bronx precinct, detectives would often order a pizza when they had to work late. And every time the kid would walk the pie over and the cops would give him a $5 tip. Well, at the other end of the Bronx, narcotics detective had a confidential informant who told them that there was a guy that worked in that restaurant, in that pizzeria, and what he would do is he would sprinkle cocaine on the pie. So what they wound up doing was they ordered a pie one day, someone came in and dropped it off, they sent the pie to the lab, and yes, the pizza tested positive for cocaine. Detectives were later able to trace where it came from and then place the high-flying chef under arrest. But the most blatant disregard for sanitary conditions in a restaurant, there was this deli in the Bronx that we would go into a couple of times a week, and they had great cold cuts, great hot food. So one day I went in there and I ordered an Italian combo. The guy takes an Italian bread. He's talking to me. We're going back and forth. I watch him with a bread knife slice open the bread, and I hear him go, ah, and I go, what happened? He goes, I sliced my hand open, and he continued making the sandwich, and I said, dude, what are you doing? He goes, oh, do you want me to change the bread? I said, no, I don't want you to change the bread. I want you to throw the sandwich out and put a Band-Aid on. That was the last time I ever went into that restaurant, as I don't like blood on my food. So for cops out there, be careful what you eat, because you never know what can go on behind the counter. So for more behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, The NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos.
You gotta be a football hero to get clipped by the men in blue. Whether it's homicide or burglary, the NFL always comes through.
Their attorneys are constantly busy
working on defensive plays. You gotta be a football hero, 'cause in the NFL crime pays.
Stalling every night. Smutty books, lusty books, get cozy with the Yolandum.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my short story collection, Disintegration, The Prequels. The tavern returned to its crowded, noisy state on the soldiers' last night in town. Maida and Shiri rushed around, ensuring their patrons were cared for. While she knew Shiri was grateful for the business, Maida felt a twinge of disappointment at not being able to spend more time with Callum before he left. Midnight passed without fanfare, and several of the customers left. "I'm sorry," Maida said to Callum as she hurried by with a tray of glasses. "Let me refill these, and I'll try to come back." "It's okay," he said. "Don't worry about it." More men and women trickled out of the pub within the next hour. Maida hopped up onto one of the stools next to her preferred companion, relieved to be off her feet for a few moments. "I didn't think it was going to be so busy in here tonight," she said, sighing. "We're planning on heading out before noon. I guess some of my colleagues don't mind traveling, even when they're feeling a bit under the weather." She smiled. "And what about you? I'm sure you have to wake up at the same time as the rest of them." I'll be fine. I've handled worse fatigue. Callum took her hand. I just wanted to be sure I got to give you a proper goodbye. She's got a room upstairs, chimed a voice from the opposite side of the bar. Shiri, she squealed. What? It's true. Maida felt her cheeks flush with embarrassment. Sure, her skin was tinged a bright red hue. I've already left you here by yourself too many times this week, she mumbled to her friend. Oh, who cares? We're closing soon anyway. She risked a furtive glance at Callum. He said nothing and continued to beam at her as he squeezed her hand. The touch of his fingers against hers caused her pulse to quicken and did little to douse the flames unfurling over her skin. She had to make a decision. Shiri dropped her towel and leaned over the bar. Go, she mouthed. Maida stood up without letting go of Callum's hand. Would you like to... His grin widened. Whatever you'd like. Taking care to avoid Shiri's mischievous gaze, Maida turned around and led Callum to the staircase at the back of the room. Her heart fluttered in her chest as she ascended the steps. Are we really doing this? I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and you're listening to an excerpt from my short story collection, Disintegration, The Prequels, which is available at Amazon and at thealandon.com. For some uncensored excerpts, plus complete audiobooks, you can go to patreon.com/thealandon, and don't forget to send me all your thoughts at smuttythea@gmail.com. Now, let's see what happens next. She chose not to turn on the lights once they were safely inside her bedroom. As soon as the door clicked shut, Callum captured her with one arm around her waist. Their lips met in the darkness, and she ran her hands along the crisp fabric of his shirt. His fervent kiss filled her with unpredicted longing, a hunger she needed to satiate. Without breaking their contact, he backed toward the bed. They sat down, and he dragged his lips toward her neck, skimming along her delicate skin. I've been dreaming of this since I first met you, he said near her ear. His words were sweet, yet there was a hint of a savage growl in his voice. I couldn't get my mind off you all week. Residual doubts lingered in her mind, their sharp barbs piercing through the arousal he incited. She barely knew this man in front of her, and she couldn't help but wonder how many other women had been on the receiving end of his subtle charm and tempting kisses. Maida pulled back and stared at him. His eyes shimmered in the pale glow of the moonlight. Beneath their genuine affection, her own desire was mirrored in the depths of his gaze. Reaching out, she trailed her fingers along the side of his face, her thumb brushing across his lower lip. Whatever his intentions were, they didn't matter. She wanted him. His hands moved to the first closure of her blouse. One by one, he unfastened the buttons with painstaking care. He pushed the lightweight garment away and traced along the upper edge of one side of her bra. It wasn't enough. She needed to feel more of him against her. Copying his movements, she unbuttoned the top of his shirt. She progressed halfway down before he nudged her hands away. With a devilish smirk, Callum pulled the shirt off over his head and let it flutter to the floor. It was soon joined by the thin white tank he had worn underneath. He wrapped his arms around her body and removed her bra. Maida's blood sizzled through her veins as their lips met again. She pushed against the firm muscles of his chest, and they toppled over, their legs dangling off the bed. Two sets of hands roamed over exposed flesh and quivering muscles. He kissed a path down her neck, his mouth gliding over her collarbone. "So beautiful," he murmured, his steamy breath skating over her moistened skin. "Oh, unfortunately, I have to stop here for tonight, but you know you can always have more." That was an excerpt from my short story collection, Disintegration: The Prequels, which is available at Amazon and at thealandon.com. If you'd like to hear some uncensored excerpts and complete audiobooks, you can go to patreon.com/thealandon, and don't forget, you can always send me all your thoughts at smuttythea@gmail.com. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling every damn night.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
This is horrible. This is just horrible. It's horrible.
You gotta be a football hero to get clipped by the men in blue. Whether it's homicide or burglary, the NFL always comes through.
Their attorneys are constantly busy
working on defensive plays. You gotta be a football hero, 'cause in the NFL crime pays.
And production number 1416, and it's take one.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Stand by.
And five,
four, three, two, one.
On to music, John.
Push Get in. Ready to match the
and
stars.
Turn
Charlie's Angels, David Doyle.
And put in two.
Brett Summers.
And put in one.
Charles Nelson Riddle.
And put in two.
From MASH, Loretta Swift.
And put in one.
Joey Mitchell.
And put in
and
two.
And Fanny Flay.
And put in
as we play
five.
The star-studded big right money match game 79.
Widely viewed as a veteran leader inside that Texans locker room, safety and team captain Jimmy Ward remains in jail after he was arrested and charged with a third-degree felony, assault with a family violence designation. According to the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office, Ward's fiance alleges that he strangled her and threatened her life overnight before she was able to leave the house and call 911. The serious nature of the charges Ward faces really hits home when you hear them read aloud in today's probable cause hearing.
Her fiance, Mr. Jimmy Ward, slapped her in the face, strangled her, and threatened to kill her. She stated that she felt pain in her throat and was unable to breathe before she was able to get him off of her and get out of the house and call 911. Mr. Ward declined to speak with officers and insisted that they speak with his lawyer.
The judge setting Ward's bond at $30,000. As a condition of bond, Ward will be required to wear a GPS monitor. The judge also ordering an emergency protective order in this case. Ward will be barred from communicating with the alleged victim. The serious nature of these allegations and the charges put Ward's future with the Texans in question this evening. In addition to facing the assault charge, Ward faces punishment under the NFL's domestic violence policy. That policy calls for a 6-game suspension for the first offense involving domestic violence. In a statement, the Texans say they are aware of the report involving Jimmy Ward. The organization is investigating and will have no further comment.
Do you see how that's incredibly offensive?
Yes.
Yes, I do. That's why I said it.
Yes, that I see how that's incredibly offensive. Did you hear what that reporter said? He said that the policy of the NFL is a 6-game suspension when allegations of domestic violence are made against a player. A 6-game suspension for allegations of domestic violence by an NFL player. Not run him out of the country. Not throw him out of the game. No, give him a six-game vacation. He gets a little vacation.
Do you see how that's incredibly offensive?
Yes.
Yes, I do. That's why I said it.
Yes. Oh, here's another NFL player under the microscope of the criminal justice system. His name is Ray Rice.
It's the second shocking video to surface. TMZ releasing this tape of Baltimore Ravens player Ray Rice brutally knocking out his then-fiancée Janae Palmer, dragging her limp body from an Atlantic City casino elevator this February. The Ravens say they only saw the disturbing video shot from inside the elevator on Monday, and after viewing it, had no choice but to drop Rice from the team.
It's something we saw for the first time today, you know, all of us. And it changed things, of course. You know, it made things a little bit different.
Terminated by the Ravens, suspended by the NFL indefinitely. Rice's career could be over.
It was a deplorable act. He made a terrible error in judgment.
But questions this morning as to why team officials and the NFL hadn't seen the tape sooner.
I have no answer for that.
The NFL says they did request the video from police, but it was never given to them. Some of Coach Harbaugh's apparent comments supporting Rice, wishing him well, sparking public outrage.
You know, I have nothing but hope and goodwill for Ray and Janae, and we'll do whatever we can going forward to help them, you know, as they go forward and try to make the best of it.
7 months ago, this video surfaced of Rice dragging Palmer out of the elevator. In July, the NFL suspended him for just 2 games. Now the NFL and the Baltimore Ravens are coming under fire for not handing down a tougher punishment in the beginning. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell acknowledging in a statement saying in part, I didn't get it right. Simply put, we have to do better.
At night, you know, I just replay over and over in my head, you know, that's not me. My actions were inexcusable.
Through it all, Palmer has stayed by his side, even marrying him in March.
I do deeply regret the role that I played in the incident that night, but I can say that I am happy that we continue to work through it together.
What do you mean you work through it together? A guy beats you up in an elevator, drags you out by your hair. There's a bloody trail behind you in a casino. There's not one good word that I just said. Casino, bloody, hair, elevator, and you're trying to work it out together? That was 10 years ago. We must check and see if it happened again. It shouldn't have happened twice. It did. It should have never happened once. And Roger Goodell saying, I have to get it right. I could have done better. What about Jovan Belcher? In December 2012, Belcher committed suicide shortly after killing the mother of his 3-month-old daughter. What about Keith Wright, number 7 on our list of 10? Wright was found guilty of 19 charges of being arrested for connection with sexual assaults and home invasions. Here's an NFL player having time to do home invasions. He was sentenced to 234 years and 8 months in prison. Well, some judge got that right. 234 years, yeah, that's about right. It's 15 minutes past the hour. I'm Walter Sterling. I have an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. And I have a phone number. And you can go on the air across the country right now live. The number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. This is Sterling every damn Sunday.
The people of Walmart, Sterling, every damn night.
Walmart loaded up with a mighty fine covey of birds. Yeah, beautiful girls that work as Walmart associates. And there was a delivery driver, worked for Sparks Driver, which is a company that delivers for Walmart. His name, Michael Miles. He's now a former driver going to that Walmart because he found himself in love with a wonderful Walmart associate. And apparently was stalking the heck out of her. And there's a fine line during this Valentine's week that we're going to be enjoying between stalking and courtship. A lot of guys have a problem with what that line is. Is stalking just giving a girl love notes, giving her flowers, showing up on her doorstep with a smile on your face? Maybe, maybe not. But again, if the lady says no, you don't want to be a part of it. Now, the wonderful news organization from Mississippi, WDAM, says that he's a seminary man. Well, Michael Miles may be many wonderful things. I don't think he's going to the seminary. I don't think he's going to be a pastor or a priest. I think this feller is just a lonely man looking for love. Those Walmart associates, they're gorgeous. Blue vest. Yeah. Yeah, these are the type of women you want to take home to mama. Michael Miles. Yeah, he's in jail for stalking. Apparently the stalking must have gotten way over the top. We're not getting the inside skinny on this. I'm going to give you something as a man who has passion and feeling and understanding of the urges one may have for Walmart associates. The gal says no, move along. Move along indeed. This feller likely is going to be convicted or plead guilty to something that probably isn't all that good. The Walmart associates, protect them. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling. Every damn night.
You gotta be a football hero to get clipped by the men in blue. Whether it's homicide or burglary, the NFL always comes through.
Their attorneys are constantly busy
working on defensive plays. You gotta be a football hero, 'cause in the NFL, crime pays.
This is breaking news.
All right, let's find out more about the criminal history of NFL players, the alleged criminal history of NFL players.
Widely viewed as a veteran leader inside that Texans locker room, safety and team captain Jimmy Ward remains in jail after he was arrested and charged with a third-degree felony, assault with a family violence designation. According to the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office, Ward's fiance alleges that he strangled her and threatened her life overnight before she was able to leave the house and call 911. The serious nature of the charges Ward faces really hits home when you hear them read aloud in today's probable cause hearing.
Her fiance, Mr. Jimmy Ward, slapped her in the face, strangled her, and threatened to kill her. She said that she felt pain and sweat and was unable to breathe before she was able to get him off of her and get out of the house and call 911. Mr. Ward declined to speak with officers and insisted that they speak with his lawyer.
The judge setting Ward's bond at $30,000 as a condition of bond. Ward will be required to wear a GPS monitor. The judge also ordering an emergency protective order in this case. Ward will be barred from communicating with the alleged victim. The serious nature of these allegations and the charges put Ward's future with the Texans in question this evening. In addition to facing the assault charge, Ward faces punishment under the NFL's domestic violence policy. That policy calls for a six-game suspension for the first offense.
Oh, my God. A whole 6 games?
In a statement, the Texans say they are going to take home $25 million.
The
organization is investigating and will have no further comment.
But this is true over and over and over again. This jock mentality that lets these clowns get off. They hit a woman, and then they, oh, gee, can't play football for six games. What? No, you hit a woman, and you can't breathe. You don't get out of jail. You don't work again. You don't get to do a concert tour. You don't get to play another NFL game. Nothing. Nothing. You hit a woman, you're over. Oh, gee, here's another NFL alleged criminal.
He wound up leading the NFL in tackles this year, but he also committed 9 personal foul penalties this season, 6 for unnecessary roughness.
Put him on his side. Put him on his side.
I think he's a hard-nosed player. I think his style of game is what he is. I think it's why he knocks himself out half the time.
I think he needs to be evaluated, man, like a playing like that. You know, CTE and all that affects you as a football player. You play this violent game.
Yeah, you're too violent for other football players. Number 6 on our top 10 list, Jim Dunaway. In 1998, Jim Dunaway's wife, Noneal, was found dead in a pool. The autopsy revealed a fractured skull and that she was unconscious prior to being in the pool, making Jim the primary suspect. With a lack of evidence, Jim walked away unscathed. With a lack of evidence, Jim Dunaway walked away unscathed, yet his wife had a fractured skull and was in the swimming pool. Number 5, Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis, this is our top 10 NFL offenders. Back in 2000, Ray Lewis was indicted for 2 murders during a Super Bowl party. Lewis got into an altercation with 2 men who were later found stabbed to death. A search revealed that the suit he wore that night contained blood of the victims. Ray Lewis. The case was dropped before it made trial. While it still remains a mystery, it is believed that Lewis paid the victims' families to dismiss the charges. So this clown allegedly was indicted for 2 murders during a Super Bowl party. He got in a fight with these guys. They died. Their blood was found on his clothes and his suit. He gave a lot of money to the victims' families, apparently, and they dropped the charges. I assume then he kept playing football. Because, you know, he demonstrated his skill of maiming people. This is a crappy game. It's not a sport. It's a game. You only play 16, 17 games. You get paid $10 to $20 million a year. You're paid to bulk up and be inhumanly big. And then bad things happen. Son of a gun. And then there's, oh, it's so sad. You know, they have concussions the rest of their lives. Yeah, and unless they blow it, they have $20, $30, $40 million in the bank the rest of their lives. Oh, yeah, and a rap sheet. Most NFLers have a rap sheet. Let me give you a tip. In the real world, most people who make $10, $20 million a year do not have a rap sheet. They have a CV. They don't have a rap sheet. They have a scholarship from Harvard. Or Wharton, or an MBA. No rap sheet. And they don't beat up their wife and then are suspended for 6 weeks. You're working at IBM, you beat up your wife, they know you beat up your wife, you suspended for 6 weeks. No, you're gone. That goes beyond HR. that goes way up the chain. You did what to your wife? No, you can't work here. Get out of here. There isn't a woman in this building who would feel safe. But they don't really care about that at the NFL because it's not a sport. I'm Walter M. Sterling. I've got an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. More importantly, I have a phone number, and I like talking with you live right now. The number is 855-839-1210. On Sunday night, yeah, I'm live. I'm working. 855-839-1210. Sterling every damn Sunday night.
You gotta be a football hero to get clipped by the men in blue. Whether it's homicide or burglary, the NFL always comes through.
Their attorneys are constantly busy
working on defensive plays. You gotta be a football hero, cause in the NFL crime phase.
And as we go down the list of NFL alleged felons and criminals, we can't forget Zach Stacy, NFL player. What happened there?
Harvard Stacy, there was a warrant signed by a judge finding probable cause for those charges.
Former NFL player Zach Stacy faced a judge for the first time Friday morning after being arrested at Orlando International Airport overnight on charges related to a domestic violence incident.
We would just ask the court to set a reasonable bond in this matter. My client is not a wealthy man.
Stacy is accused of beating his ex-girlfriend inside her house in Oakland last weekend. The victim released this video of the attack. A warning, we're only showing a portion of the video, but it is graphic.
Things are way different now. Oh. Back.
Police say Stacy fled to Tennessee shortly after the attack and wasn't arrested until Thursday night when police got a tip he was flying back to Orlando. Stacy's lawyer, though, told the judge he flew back to cooperate with the investigation and was planning on turning himself in.
He was arrested at the airport by Orlando Police Department before I was actually there to pick him up to actually deliver him to the jail.
The judge set Stacy's bond at just over $10,000. He's also been ordered to have no contact with the victim.
You may not possess any weapons or firearms. Any weapons or firearms you have need to be turned over to law enforcement.
And there you have a very short, partial list of NFL alleged felons. But my God, they get to keep playing. I'm Walter M. Sterling at Gmail, Sterling every damn Sunday night.
James Parker, and this is Florida Stories. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Welcome to Florida Stories. Sometimes I see the news and I think these people must know that Florida Stories exist, and so they're just performing for the camera. You know what? There's a whole mishmash of counties in Florida that are sort of indistinguishable, and they sound like Hazard County from the old Dukes of Hazard. So let's talk about how it gets started here. We have a sheriff in front of some cameras, and he thinks he's going to be real punny.
She's 22. She's a pretty lady, but she was McMad. So when she arrives at the McDonald's to pick up her order, they have it ready, but because it was a special order, they confused some things, and they asked her, pull up to window 3, where she got McMad.
Yeah, I see what you're doing there. Yeah, nice little punchlines written. That's cute. Funny part is the cops got involved actually because the customer called them.
She dialed 911. Did you hear what I said? She dialed 911 and complained about her order at McDonald's.
Did you hear what I said? What are you, Foghorn Leghorn? Then he comes back with a series of puns here. I swear this is like a bad Adam Sandler movie.
You know, I don't know what was wrong with her that night. I don't know if she was like 2 fries short of a Happy Meal, or maybe it was she was short of a Happy Meal completely. But she created a McMess, and she acted like a McNutt. But you know what she ended up? A McBurglar.
And so then at the press conference, he whips out the video for the fun part. He has a video screen next to him, and he shows her this pregnant lady with her belly exposed, shaking her butt.
On the way out of the store, after she had already announced to everybody she was 5 months pregnant, she pulled her stomach, her shirt up to show everybody her stomach, and then twerked her way out of the store. You can't make this up. This is going to be McInteresting. Look right here.
So he ends the press conference with, you know, let this be a lesson to any of you other upset pregnant McDonald's customers.
And there's one thing that you need to understand in Polk County. We don't put up with that McJunk.
And scene. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
What? For our next Florida story, we're going down to Pinellas County, Florida. There's a 26-year-old Pinellas County Sheriff's deputy who may have had a little too much to drink on Tuesday. She gets pulled over. She has an odor of alcohol on her breath, slurred speech, glassy eyes. She was unsteady on her feet. She does the field sobriety test, and she doesn't do them very well. So she gets arrested, loses her job as a cop because of the DWI. But her story has gone viral because in her mugshot, she looks absolutely beautiful. She's 26 years old, perfect face, gorgeous hair. Her makeup looks great. Yeah, she does look a little drunk, but she looks like Megan Fox's younger sister. You don't look as good in those glamour shots that you took at the mall in 1999 as she does in her mugshot. And she was a cop. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to Tampa, where a woman's driving down the road. Cop lights her up, trying to pull her over, and she doesn't want to pull over. So she just keeps on driving like it's nothing, and so he gets another motorcycle cop to get in the road in front of her to kind of cut her off, and she clips the motorcycle cop. The reporting on this is ridiculous from WFLA. They say, then intentionally hit an MCSO motorcycle unit. Who the hell talks like that? No, it's a motorcycle cop, like in Chips. So now they radio out, and there's a whole slew of cops that are chasing her, and she is trying to evade the police as long as she can, and she gets in a traffic accident at an intersection, ends up T-boning a truck that was carrying three people. Everyone's going to be okay, and there's no life-threatening injuries, but here's the Florida catch. After she T-bones the truck and the vehicle chase, you know, de facto stops, the deputy that goes up and opens her door first, she throws a snake on him. Why is she driving around with a snake? Would she just have a snake in the passenger seat or what? I don't know. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our last Florida story, we're going to Deep Creek, Florida. This is their first time making a story on the big show. But while, you know, people across the country have pools, you've noticed that so many of the houses in Florida that you've seen that have pools have some sort of covering over them, whether it's plexiglass or glass or mosquito net or something, either screened in or glassed in. There's a few reasons for that. Keeps out the bugs, also keeps out the wild animals. Well, an 11-foot alligator ripped through one of the screens in some family's pool and jumps in the pool and is just chilling in there. And so, of course, they have to take some video of it and put it online. But this thing is gigantic. It is 550 pounds. It's 11 feet long. It goes more than the length of the deep end. And so that's just something you got to worry about in Florida. You can have a pool. You can have it screened in, and you still have to check before you jump in to make sure there's not a freaking dinosaur chilling in the deep end. And here's the deal. The laws against killing alligators are pretty strict in Florida, so you can't just shoot it in your pool. You have to call the wildlife people who come out there, and they have these trappers, and they show these dudes who are absolute hosses pulling a 550-pound gator out of this dude's pool. So they just capture it, they throw it in the back of a truck, and then they release it back in the swamp up the road. And that's how they do it in Florida.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
Florida Stories is produced by Spring Rock. I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
You gotta be a football hero to get clipped by the men in blue. Whether it's homicide or burglary, the NFL always comes through.
Their attorneys are constantly busy
working on defensive plays. You gotta be a football hero, 'cause in the NFL crime pays.
Sterling every night, study books, lusty books, get cozy with the Allen Dome.
smutty book author Thea Landon, and here's an excerpt from my book, Flight of the Dragon Queen. Alizira turned toward me, placing her hands on my chest. You're not upset? No, why would I be? With one finger, I tilted her chin upward to meet my gaze, the moonlight reflected in her emerald eyes. Regardless, if this is all part of who you are, then I look forward to everything you're willing to share with me. Her eyes closed as I leaned down. I brushed my lips across hers with the faintest of touches, afraid if I pushed too far, she'd be summoned away again. No one appeared to interrupt us, and the gentle gesture paved the way for a more zealous kiss. She slid her palms over my shoulders, locking her fingers behind me, and her lips parted to welcome me inside. The sweet taste of honeyed wine on her tongue drove me wild with desire. I tightened my grasp on her waist, pressing her body to mine. As I explored her luscious mouth, I threaded my free hand through her thick curls. When I grazed the bare skin at the base of her neck, she shuddered. "Stay with me tonight," she purred against me in between kisses. "I want to be with you." My heart thudded until I thought it might explode. I couldn't believe what I'd heard. "Are you sure? We haven't known each other for very long, and I don't want you to think I know all I need to know about you, Caleb." Her fists knotted in the collar of my shirt, and her hips rolled toward me. And when I shivered in the corner of my cold, terrible cell, thoughts of you kept me warm. I imagined what it would be like to be safe in your arms, to feel your body touching mine. She traced the edge of the shirt, her fingertips leaving a blazing trail across my skin. And I wondered if you thought the same things about me. Her words aroused all sorts of provocative memories. I did. Believe me, I did. I took her hand and kissed the top of it. I suppose it's in poor taste to refuse a queen's invitation in her own castle. Alizira tossed her head back and laughed, a wide grin spreading over her face. "Let's go inside. The view from the balcony will be even more spectacular at sunrise." A jumble of feelings, from disbelief to red-hot lust, clouded my mind as I followed her back through the doors. Inside her chambers, she used an iron rod to stoke the embers inside a fireplace. Once she had rekindled the flames, she walked the perimeter of the room, extinguishing all the lamps hanging from the walls. When the last of the light came from the dancing fire, she stood in front of it and beckoned to me. I walked slowly, taking in the sight of her exaggerated hourglass figure silhouetted against the orange blaze. Alizira reached for the bottom of my shirt and gave it a yank. Grateful the darkness camouflaged some of my nervous blushing, I pulled off the lightweight garment and let it flutter away. Before it hit the floor, she swanned back into my arms and guided me down for another kiss. The heat emanating from the hearth mingled with the fervor building between us. As her chest flattened against me, the plush fabric of her dress rubbed across my bare skin, teasing me with what lay beneath. Without relinquishing control of her lips, I skimmed my palms over the swell of her hips, drawing them up her sides and to the front of her body. Pliant flesh bulged over the top of her snug bodice, begging for attention. I cupped it through the thick velvet, and a soft moan escaped from her mouth into mine. She steered me toward the ties holding her bodice in place. I unfastened the knot, and the weight of her chest helped me loosen the laces. Dipping my hands inside the open flaps, I slid the gown off her shoulders. She pulled away to slip her arms out of the sleeves, and the dress cascaded off her body. Carefully, she stepped out of the burgundy puddle, removing her embroidered slippers as she did so. The roaring blaze in the fireplace bathed her in an ethereal glow, exposing every inch of her to me. Oh my, I think I'd better stop here for tonight, but you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, Flight of the Dragon Queen, which is available at Amazon. I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. I answer every email. I've got a pretty good website, waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
Sterling is brought to life by these creative people. Music director Lee Harris, technical wizard Dave Scalish, operations Frank Canal, sound mixers Sean Cicero, Sean Walsh, Andrew Torres, voice actors James Parker, James Copeland, that's me, Randy Thomas, Charlie Van Dyke, Charles Van Sant, Robert Clotworthy, Peter Thiel, Dan and Becky Gaffney, Erotic Thrills Thea Landon, Class Act Jill Brooke and Matus Bumball, Baked Goods Steve and Selena JB Bakery, Quantum Physics Dave Scott, a Canadian, Ross Coulthart, an Australian, Skullduggery Vic Ferrari, Blessings Father James Drucker, Meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser, Writer Jerry the Writer, Business Guidance Craig Kitchen, Program originated by Chris Olivero. Long-suffering executives David Yadgroff and Greg Stalker. With respect, Alex Bennett, Sally Jesse Raphael, and Gene Shepard. A great way to